الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله What has been read tonight is also admonition from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist us in becoming better individuals. There is an ayah in the Quran that makes us realize and should help us reflect upon the manner in which we talk. The Quran says, for example, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُعَجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا فِي قَلْبِهِ وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ. And of course, among humans, amongst the men, there are those that have a certain type of words that they would use. In this life of ours, there are those that will use such language style that when they use that language style, they will mesmerize you, they will attract you, and they will make you fall in love with them. This is how they are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given some people that type of communication quality. However, this individual sometimes will even make Allah his witness on what is in their heart. So, for example, what they have in their heart may be one thing, but they will say, Wallahi, in my heart, I have something else. In other words, they are very, very deceptive in nature. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, there are those individuals out there that have a very mesmerizing way of presenting themselves. At the same time, they will deceive you in saying things that are not really true, and they in their heart know that they are false, but because they have the gift of the gab, they will be able to fool you. And in reality, وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ, these individuals are such that their primary purpose in life is just to quarrel, just to argue, just to debate, just try to fool those that are around. So in essence, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is, do not let yourself become fooled with those people that just sound nice. Whenever they say anything, match it up to Allah, match it up to the Quran, match it up to the Hadith, and thereafter evaluate it in accordance to that. Another ayah we have spoken about, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بِضِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. And before we talk about this ayah, the Quran says, وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُفْسِدَ فِيهَا وَيُهْلِكَ الْحَرْثَ وَالنَّسْلِ. There are those individuals that try to sound very nice, but how do you know that they are corruptive in nature? Well, they talk of peace treaties, they'll talk of peace here, there and everywhere, but in the end, they will not give you peace, but they will give you pieces. They will cut you up, slice you up, destroy your lands. So the Quran is saying, don't be fooled. وَيُهُلِكَ الْحَرُثَ وَالنَّسْلِ. Their primary job in life, these people that have the gift of the gab, their primary job in life is to destroy property, destroy family, and destroy lives out there. Allah says, وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادِ. Allah does not like fasad. Allah does not like individuals that transgress the boundaries by fulfilling aspects of corruption of every type. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بِضِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. And of course, then there are those individuals out there. What do? they sell their very selves. They sell the core of who they are. They don't mind sacrificing whatever they have. نَفْسَهُ بَتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. And their primary purpose of sacrificing, whether it's their physical self, whether it's their financial self, etc., is to do it for one purpose, to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, people sometimes say, Sahaba, well, they were people of the past. Sahaba, if they were living in today's time, they would also do what we are doing. My brothers and sisters in Islam, let me tell you, when Sahaba did what Sahaba had done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved it so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made mention of it in the Quran. As far as this given ayah is concerned, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بِتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. According to, for example, Hakim, according to Ibn Jarir, may Allah shower blessings upon them, this verse was revealed in connection with a particular Sahabi by the name of Suhaib al-Rumi. Suhaib al-Rumi had left Makkah, was making Hijrah and going towards Madinatul Munawwara. As he was going towards Madinatul Munawwara, he was apprehended by the disbelievers of the Quraysh. When they had apprehended them, he pulled out all his arrows. He didn't say, well, let's start negotiating now. You know, it's my life. I'm on my way. I'll give you this and I'll give you that. No, no, no. This is what he said. He said, O people of the Quraysh, O tribe of the Quraysh, you know who I am. You know that I know how to use my bow and arrow better than all of you. As far as my arrows are concerned, when I use them, they will not miss their target. Thereafter he says, I take an oath in the name of Allah that none of you shall reach me. None of you shall be able to attack me. None of you shall be able to hurt me until there is a final arrow that is in my possession. If it happens perchance that all my arrows are completed, thereafter rest assured, I still will not call it quits. I will use my sword thereafter. After I have used up all my arrows, after I have used the energy of my sword upon you, thereafter, if you want to make a deal with me, then we will make a deal. And the deal will be, I will give you all my wealth if that's what you want. If that's what you want, then you can take my wealth and I will tell you exactly where my wealth is. This was the extent that the Sahaba were willing to go towards to defend the belief. The Sahabi, it is said, was willing to use all his arrows, was willing to use his sword, even told them where his wealth was stored in Makkah, but he was not willing to give up his iman. And in today's time, what we say, Sheikh, can I say I'm a Jew or a Christian so I can get a job? Sheikh, can I let go of the sunnah because people, when they look at me, they get scared? Oh, Sheikh, can I give up this or can I give up that? Or can I go to a Christmas party so people will not know that I'm a Muslim? And here the Sahabi was willing to give up every aspect of his physical belongings, even his physical self, just so that he could maintain his iman. And Allah is making a mention of this in the Quran. Why? So that way our iman can become strong and we can become better contributors of that which is good to not just Islam but America itself as well. That's what the Quran thereafter says. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udkhulu fis-silmi kaffa. Oh you who believe, udkhulu fis-silmi kaffa. Enter into Islam in totality. Enter into Islam completely. Enter into Islam without any reservations. Enter into Islam with peace, love and dignity. This is something that Islam loves and Islam wants us to be part of. The scholars have made a very subtle point, and I will just share these two points very, very briefly with you. One is to enter into Islam naturally, physically. You're hearing, you're listening, you're talking, you're thinking. That is one aspect of entering into Islam. That means whatever physical part of you that exists, it will become like the way a Muslim ought to make it. So the way you walk, it'll be like the way a Muslim walks. You will not just jump and be a klutz and sort of drop yourself anywhere, everywhere. I see some young people, when they sit down, they have no respect. They just drop themselves on the ground. No, the way they sit would be like how a Muslim ought to sit. The way they drink water, they won't just gulp it down. They drink it in a manner of dignity, in a manner of goodness. The way they walk, the way they talk, all this is part of entering into Islam. That's one definition. The other is, you will not just physically enter into Islam properly, but you will enter physically as well as your heart. As well as your heart. That means your heart will be like the way in which a Muslim ought to have his heart. So when he meets another Muslim, he meets with love and genuineness. When he takes part in weddings, it'll be the way in which Allah wants him to take part in the wedding. When he takes part in divorce, it'll be done the manner in which Allah wants him to divorce. Allah doesn't love divorce. Allah does not love divorce. But sometimes when there is tremendous amount of incompatibility and you see that there is cheating, or you see there is fraudulent behavior, or things that are so wrong that they cannot be made right, then Islam says, فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. From these various ayat we learn that if you feel that they cannot be good and they feel that they will never be benefit in that relationship, then of course you have to move on. But how do you move on? The manner in which Allah chooses for you to move on. The manner in which you deal in business. The manner in which you deal in politics. The manner in which you deal in trade. All these things are part of the phrase udkhulu fis-silmi kaffa. Enter into Islam in totality. And who is this ayah talking about and talking to? It is saying, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Allah didn't just say, Ya ayyuhal nas. Allah could have said, O people. No. O you who believe, amanu means the one that has given himself to Allah. Allah is addressing you. Imagine if a president addresses you, you get flattered. Prime Minister addresses you, you get flattered. Here Allah is addressing you and I. Allah is saying, O insan, O you who believe, O you who believe in me, O you who believe in Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, enter into Islam in totality. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not follow. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ. Do not follow the footsteps of shaytan. Why? Why? إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. As far as he's concerned, he is your open enemy. And you and I know that our open enemies are not people that we should go towards. Open enemies are not individuals that we follow. So just like we don't follow our open enemies, likewise we must not follow shaitan. Because when we follow shaitan, especially in this month, my brothers in Islam, then we are going to be begging Allah to take away the gift of Ramadan, and that is something we cannot afford to do. Also, we recite an ayah. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَى أَنْ تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَى أَنْ تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. The gist of this ayah is the following. My brothers and sisters in Islam, living in America, we have enough challenges. And there are certain things that we love to do, but yet these things are not good for us. There are certain things we don't want to do, but they are good for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by virtue of this ayah, is saying the following. I am your Allah, I am your creator, and I know what is good for you. Just like, for example, if you have a BMW, and by no means I have a BMW, in case you're thinking that I'm promoting BMWs here. But anyway, for those of you that have it, if it's a comfortable car, keep it. If it's not, well, there are many other options you have out there. But anyway, regardless, if you have a problem with your BMW, you don't take it to a guy that fixes bicycles. Likewise, if you have a bicycle, you don't take it to a BMW dealership. You take your bicycle to a bicycle store. You take your BMW to a BMW manufacturer. Take your Toyota to a Toyota manufacturer. Why? Because the owner or the manufacturer of that car knows best on how that car must be dealt with. Likewise, Allah has presented certain laws and regulations for our benefit. And when we follow those rules and regulations in the manner that Allah has desired, we may like it, we may not like it, but rest assured, when we do what Allah wants us to do in the manner in which Allah wants us to do, then we will attain tranquility, we will attain peace, and we will attain tremendous amount of good. Thereafter, of course, the Quran talked about يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ قِتَالٍ فِيهِ يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيرِ etc. etc. These ayah are talking about, they are asking Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam certain things, what must do and what must not do. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving them advice. In certain months there are certain do's and don'ts, and how you must fulfill these do's and don'ts. And likewise, we have do's and don'ts that apply to our current months as well. Imagine, we know what happens in December. If I say what happens in December, what do we say? Christmas. When I say what happens in January, New Year's. What happens in April? And the list goes on and on. We know when is Valentine's Day. We know when is our birthday. We know when it is Christmas, etc. We know when it is Mother's Day, Father's Day, Dog's Day. All these days out there. But if you ask people, tell me about Shaban, what they say? Well, we know it's a great month. Tell me a little more about it. They don't know. Why is that? Because we don't care. Because if we care, we will know. So we learn something important. Months have a value, and we must understand the do's and don'ts of every month. And the only way we can understand the value of every month is that we understand when the month begins. And how does the month begin? We have to look at the moon, look for the moon, and begin our month, look for the moon, and end our month, etc. When we do this, inshallah, we will build a greater level of sensitivity between ourselves and our deen. Thereafter, Allah SWT talks a little about alcohol. Many people say, Imam, you know, alcohol has benefits. You know, gambling has benefits. What Allah says? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, regarding all these things, I also know they have benefit. فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I know that there is benefit in these things, but the ithm in it, the sin in it, and the hurt in it is much more worse. وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْعِهِمَا. So Allah is also saying, I know that there is benefit in alcohol. I know that there is benefit in gambling. And who is the benefit for? As far as drinking is concerned, the benefit is not for you and I. It's for the alcohol companies out there. When we take part in gambling, who makes most of the money? The casinos out there. Statistically, these two things are being proven. And also, when you drink, the harm is more for you and I. The harm is for the drinker. The harm is for the society. The harm, hospitals have to now take part in all these unwanted surgeries and operations. Our insurance rate, I'm not advocating insurance, but insurance rates have to go up. Why? Because people are drinking. You are a hazard to society. Traffic is held up, and the list goes on and on. And as far as gambling is concerned, people lose their houses, they lose their jobs, they lose their families. So the Quran is saying, Allah Himself is saying, I know that they may be benefit, but the harm is more worse than the benefit. So, O insan, stay away from it. And if perchance you have dealt in all these things, then make istighfar, make tawbah, and ask Allah to reform you. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْحَيْضِ مَحِيضِ وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذًى فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ. That those of you that are married, there are certain times in which you must take part in adult relations. And as far as hayd, menstrual cycle, is concerned, it is very important. And it is said, my sisters, we get these things, our sisters go through menses, there are certain do's and don'ts. During menses, you cannot come to the masjid. During menses, you cannot fast. During menses, men and women cannot take part in certain type of adult relationships. We know our bank account number. We know where our car keys are. We know where our valuables are in the house. But we don't know what Allah demands of us when we have menses, when we have our menstrual cycle. We don't understand our rules and obligations towards Allah when we are going through the menses. This is very, very unfortunate. My brothers and sisters in Islam, when we don't fulfill the rules of Allah and we take part in sexual relations when we are not supposed to take part in it, then not only does it sometimes constitute a sin, but it deprives us from attaining the total tranquility in what we are doing. Thereafter the Quran says, نِثَاؤُكُمْ حَرْثٌ لَكُمْ فَأَتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ أَنَّا شِئْتُمْ. That yes, when your wife is not in menses and you have to take part in adult relations, then the Quran says, enjoy. Do it all that you need to do. But don't do sodomy. And don't do, of course, that which Allah has prohibited. Now, some people excuse the graphicness here. The question will be, Imam, can I do things? Must I always do things on the bed? If I don't do it on the bed and I do it on the floor, is the floor haram? Well, you know, if Allah has given you a good bed, then use the bed. I mean, why must you use the floor and the stove in case you get burned? Or you use the floor and there's a glass piece there and you get cut? But anyway, if there is no glass pieces or anything and you are comfortable on the floor, then of course, that is a personal choice. The Quran is saying, enjoy yourselves. And of course, there'll be question, must the man always be on top? Can the woman be on top of the man when they're doing certain adult relations? The Quran says, نِسَاؤُكُمْ حَرْثٌ لَكُمْ فَأْتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ أَنَّا شِئْتُمْ وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. As long as it is halal, as long as you're not hurting one another, as long as you're not doing sodomy, as long as you're not doing what is prohibited, by all means enjoy, and enjoy between yourselves. Enjoy between yourselves. Close your windows and don't get the neighbors involved. Close the doors and don't let your children have evil thoughts going on in the mind. What is going on in the room out there? These are things you already know, but in nowadays we have to bring it up to the forefront. Why? So that way we can teach our youth, because sometimes they're ashamed to ask these questions, and we must bring it up as well. Thereafter, of course, we spoke about the rules of talaq, and my philosophy is very simple. We must be in good relations, we must be in healthy relationships, and sometimes a woman may want divorce. We must not keep a woman back if she is not happy in the relationship, or you cannot fulfill your obligations towards her. Then gradually, with love, with niceties, we find a proper solution and we let one another go. We must be nice about it, we must be kind about it, and we must do it in a dignified manner. حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى. We must protect all our salah. And from this ayah, the debate is, which is the salah Allah is talking about here? حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى. Which is the salah الوسطى? Which is the middle salah? Some have said it is the Asr Salah. Why they say it's the Asr Salah? Because Asr Salah is the most difficult to do. We are in school, or we are in college, or we are at work, or we are here. And it is hard to break away because you're in the middle of dealings. So it says protect the middle Salah. For some it will be the Asr Salah that will be the most hard. For some it is, according to Ikhtilaf in this ayah, for some it is the Maghrib Salah, because Maghrib is in between day and night. And for some it is the Fajr Salah, because Fajr is between night and day, and the list goes on and on. But the point I'm trying to make here is, we must be active on our Salah and protect all our Salah. And for every person, the Salah that will challenge him or her will be different. For some it is Dhuhr, for some it is Asr, for some it is Maghrib, for some it is Isha, for some it is Fajr, etc., etc. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Whichever Salah it is, you must make sure you protect it and be with those that are obedient and good to Allah, and they are protecting their Salah as well. Of course, thereafter we covered so much, it is hard to go through everything. One beautiful ayah that we must all recite for protection, and of course the hadith talks about this, and many sahaba would say, when we recited this ayah that I'm going to read to you right now, then we knew full well that our house and our families will be protected. They would actually say, we knew that if other houses were burnt, our houses will be protected. Which is this ayah? Allahu la ilaha illa wal hayyul القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض إلى آخر الآية. It's an ayah we must learn, and inshallah when we learn this ayah and when we read this ayah, we will attain a higher level of spirituality, and also at the same time we will attain itminan, we will attain tranquility of the heart and physical protection, spiritual protection of all types. Another two ayah that we must try and learn for maximized protection from all types of evil out there are the last two ayah of Surah Baqarah, and these two ayah can also strengthen our faith. For example, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربي والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله. We must believe in Allah, we must believe in all the prophets, also our prophet, we must believe in sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being the final messenger. We must believe in everything that is good, and we must also believe that Allah has appointed malaika, and we must believe in the various malaika that we are called to believe in, whether it's Jibreel as-salam, whether it's the angel that brought the Quran down, whether it is the angel of life, the angel of death. We believe in them in the proper manner. We believe in the past books, so long as they remain authentic, we will continue to believe in portions of them that remain authentic up till now. We will believe and we will continue to believe in the various prophets that Allah SWT has sent down, and we will not say Jesus is better than Moses, peace be upon them both, or Moses is more superior to Noah. We don't do all those type of things. But what we say is, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٍ وَآتَيْنَا عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَيَّدْنَاهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. But where Allah has given fadilat of some over others, then we will say, because my Allah has done it, I likewise will do it. But as an everyday rule, we don't go around saying Muhammad, peace be upon him, is more superior than Jesus, peace be upon him. That's not the way we Muslims believe. For us, it is not to say that our prophet is superior as much as it is for us to follow him in the proper manner. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. And also لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا. When the Sahaba said سمعنا وأطعنا, we all listened and we all obedient to Allah. We will follow with obedience. We listen and we will be obedient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this so much that when this verse, according to one tafsir, came down, it came down with 70,000 angels. It came down with 70,000 angels. Therefore, in this month of Ramadan, we too, when we hear good, when we see good, we must say, Sami'ana wa ata'ana. Oh Allah, I listen, and oh Allah, I will be obedient. Thereafter, the final ayah says, La yukallif Allah nafsan illa wus'aha. We must realize that whatever we are going through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not burden us beyond that which is necessary. And also, we must realize what is written for us, we will get it. We will get it at the given time that Allah chooses, not a second before or not a second after. What Allah allows us for us to keep, we will keep. What Allah does not want us to keep, we will not keep. We will only have what Allah wishes for us to have. What Allah does not wish for us to have, we will never have. Inshallah, I hope tonight for your homework you will go through these last few ayah and you will try to make it something that would live within yourselves, and you will use these ayah to make you and I, inshallah, the very best we can ever become. Wa akhu da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Anyway, Dr.